everyone. Thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso, and we are glad you're here. With so many voices out there, news, social media, even comedians and friends, it is tough to know what to think and how to make decisions. We just want to help you sort through the noise and think things through in a way that allows us to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way to Jesus. Let's go ahead and get into it. Jeff, this last week, you addressed a version of it on the weekend where there's just a lot of darkness in our world right now. And I think the generic question we want to get into today is, how do we navigate all of these mixed messages around us when we're swirled in that darkness? And then specifically, we keep hearing from so many people, a lot of people in particular, were very troubled by the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Yep.
And how do we kind of navigate not only the issue that happened, but all of that swirl just battling in on our brains?
Yeah. So I'll talk with you about this if our audience makes a deal with me.
I like that.
I said this on the weekend. I am a pastor. Mm-hmm. I am the pastor of this audience. This podcast isn't created to be blown up globally.
Right.
We're not trying to compete with Joe Rogan or whoever. This is something where the people of Grace Church can have access to like other questions and deeper questions. And so whether you're a part of Grace or not, if you will make a decision to hear me as a pastor taking you to the Word of God, there are many leaders who are afraid to speak about things like this. And the reason they are is because you cannot win.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church, in many ways, I used to say for many, many years, I used to say that people don't come to church because they are looking for God. They come to the church because they have problems.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can help them with their problems or answer their problems from the scripture or help them to know that the gospel is the answer to their problems, then you can take them to the deeper and deeper things of God. I've changed that since 2020.
Yeah.
And what I say now is that people don't come to the church to find God. They come to church to be agreed with.
Yep.
And
that's
if
so true.
You do not agree with them, they will demonize you.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it totally takes away the authority of Scripture in your life.
Yep.
And when you look at God and you look at the Bible and then you look at the spiritual leaders in your life, which are the elders and the pastors of the church, according to the scripture,
mm-hmm.
and no one can disagree with you and no one can have a different point of view. And then you put in landmines and buzzwords and et cetera. It's impossible to teach and to lead, and it's impossible to allow yourself to be led. So what happens is you are simply, you find a way that seems right to you, and you accept that as your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it all over the place. There's a lack of humility. There's a lack of teachability. And in weeks like this, like especially around somebody like Charlie Kirk, you cannot speak into that without running into those landmines. So I'm not afraid of landmines. I'm just saying, if you're not going to have an open heart and open mind to what the scriptures I'm going to try to take you to, then we're wasting each other's time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening for ammunition to get me, you'll have plenty because you'll invent it.
Yep.
And if you're listening to me hoping that I will agree with everything about you, you will not find that.
Mm-hmm.
I serve one king, and I speak in one voice about one truth, and that is the Word of God. And I will not take a hit for anything else, because anything else is lesser than.
Yeah.
So that has to be the disclaimer if we're going to have a real conversation
mm-hmm.
about what's been going on here the last few days. So when it comes to Charlie Kirk's assassination, first of all, it is absolutely sickening
yep.
to me that a 31-year-old father with a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old had a bullet put into his neck because he disagreed with people.
Yeah.
And I don't care if he was the most hateful person on planet Earth,
yep,
or if he was the most loving person on planet Earth, if he was a fully devoted follower of Jesus or an atheist. Mm-hmm. There is nowhere in Scripture that would remotely justify putting a bullet into somebody's neck. And that does not just apply to Charlie Kirk. That applies to the senator in Minnesota and her husband who were gunned down in their home. Mm-hmm. It applies to the young man who died in Akron, Ohio on the streets last week. Mm-hmm. I don't think I need to keep illustrating. There is no place where because someone disagrees with you politically or even morally, mm-hmm, that is can be defended in Scripture. And the Scripture, Jesus literally says, love your enemy.
Right.
And love for our enemy is to define the Christ follower. I think the gunman was not a Christ follower. And we would look and say, then legally, morally, he is still wrong. There is no justification. There is no right. There is no glorification that should happen. If we're going to do that, then we're going to be in a civil war.
Right.
And if you have the right to gun down Charlie Kirk, then other people would claim the right that they have the right to gun down whoever it is that is meaningful to you or influencing to you. And we do not want to go there as a culture, and there is no biblical
None.
Ground for that whatsoever. So I think, first of all, as I think of a wife looking at her 3-year-old and saying, you will never see your dad again, and a 1-year-old who doesn't even fully comprehend what it means, I think of those kids bumping into that video on the internet as they get older. I think of he has parents, he has friends, he has people on both sides of the political aisle that there's lots of people I vehemently disagree with that I still love and enjoy.
Sure, absolutely.
And so that's where my mind goes first. And the way that it traveled on social media, that's part of the traumatization of it, is it wasn't a news report or a Google alert. It was a video where you saw a person full of life and engaged in life, and in an instant, you knew he was dead.
Yeah.
So my heart goes there. My heart goes to the people who are affected by that. What part of what's unique about the younger generation and people who are very connected to social media and the internet? I'm a person, for instance, who is pseudo-connected. If you guys know me, I'm not I don't post a ton. I'm not massive in social media. I'm not trying to be. You know, we try to get, like, the message out there, and we try to get announcements for the church. I'll post things about my family or got a dog or whatever, you know, fun things. But I don't live on the internet. So as I have grown up, and even now, if I'm going to find out about something tragic, I'm going to find it out from the news, mm-hmm, like a news alert on my phone, probably. And then I'm going to process it as that is a thing that happened to somebody, and that was bad, mm-hmm, or good, I suppose. Because there's good news that comes across too. But I'm gonna process it at an arm's length. Because that's how I would think of public figures. I watch you once in a while. I listen to you a little bit. If you do something or are involved in something that's quote-unquote newsworthy, I might know about it. Other than that, you don't really impact my life a ton.
Sure.
If you are a person who is very tied to social media and very tied to the internet, you think of national figures relationally. So for instance, if you really follow Charlie Kirk and you really, really believe in his teaching and you like the way he engages things in the public arena, you interact with that almost personally. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is there's a real sense that Charlie Kirk is like discipling you. Mm-hmm. He's certainly discipling you politically and maybe culturally. And then even spiritually, I read his stuff, and I kind of got more interested in him, of course, after the assassination. You know, now it's a curiosity to me. I knew who he was and knew he was on the political right, you know, but I didn't follow everything he said. But so I got more interested in that. And as I watched that, when I think of Charlie Kirk, I think to myself, I think he was a Jesus follower, but he is not a spiritual leader. Hmm. And that's actually something he said about himself. Mm-hmm. He said, and I saw a clip, he's like, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor. I am a person who feels convicted that I need to stand up for what I think is right and what I think is wrong. And I do that in the public arena. So he's an influencer. He's a political influencer. And he took his faith into his work, mm-hmm. is the way that I would look at it. Now, if you said, do you agree with everything he thought and said it? I'm like, of course I don't. I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. But if I looked and said, if you're a pro athlete, do I want you to take your faith into your work? Yes. If you're a political activist on the left, I want you to your opinions to be influenced by your walk with Jesus. If it's genuine, I'm like, yes. And so, like, I'm fine with saying that Charlie was a Christ follower. I don't know him personally, but everything I would know about him, if I was being totally objective, I'd be like, I think he's with the Lord now.
Sure.
Do I like the way that he would cross faith and politics? I'm like, no, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with all that he did. Do I think he was arguing social issues? I'm like, yes. Do I agree with all of his conclusions? I'm like, no. Do I think he was trying to do that in the spirit of free speech? I'm like, I think so. Yeah. Do I like the conclusions he landed with? I'm like, some of them I don't. He was a public figure influencing. And I think I could say that about many public figures, mm-hmm. who are influential about many things. Mm-hmm. Do I think he is a prophet and the proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm like, no, not as a calling. I think he would speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I don't know that I would always agree with all the applications he would make. But was he a man of faith who talked about faith in the arenas he was in? I'm like, yeah, I think he was, and I don't have any reason to disbelieve that. So I think as Christ followers, we have to be like discerning of all of that. I think we can be mortified that a person's life was taken. When I first heard about the assassination of she was a state senator in Minnesota, and her husband in their home, I was mortified.
It's terrible,
I'm like, what has come here? So I think that's fine. If you respect and agree with Charlie, I'm like, that's great. I get. I mean, it's up to you. I respect and agree with some of what he did. Other things I disagree with. Those are my, you know, political views. And then I also have spiritual views where I don't agree with some pastors who are my best friends about points of theology.
Sure. Yep.
And all those kind of things. But is he a person who should be deified? Was he a martyr for the gospel? I would say no, he was not a martyr for the gospel. He was a martyr for free speech. Mm-hmm. And he is, what happened to him is the exact opposite that we as a American people would say should happen.
Right.
In fact, we would say to children, don't throw punches, use your words. Mm-hmm. The whole concept of a liberal arts education is that you're challenged and pushed back and forth on ideas. The whole foundation of our political system is one side thinks this, the other one thinks this. Who wins the argument?
Mm-hmm.
That's what cost him his life, is someone who would not or could not engage in the American way, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm like, that's where Charlie would go and set up on a campus and enter into that debate. And I'm like, that's kind of what we're supposed to do as Americans. And so he died for that cause.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, thanks for that, because I hope that for our listeners, especially those that stuck around and made that deal with you, that that is cutting through a lot of the noise, because what you just said is not the overarching theme of what you can find, at least in this last week or so. What are some of the things that you've seen as people have reacted that have caused, like, your pastor's heart to perk up? Like, oh, that's interesting that people would say that, do that, react that way, that maybe start to at least inform you on how you can help people want to respond to things differently.
There's a few things. My pastor's heart has been on high alert here.
Yeah.
The last few days. There are some things that make me angry.
Mm.
In the name of Jesus, if you're celebrating,
yeah,
I'm like, you are wrong. That is sinful, and you are doing something that our Lord does not do. And it makes me angry that you would attach the name of Jesus to that, because that is not his heart and his mind.
Yeah.
On the other side of it, in the name of Jesus, if you are declaring that everything Charlie stood for is everything Jesus would stand for, I would say, no, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That is sinful, and that is you are not representing the heart and the mind of God. And then what really breaks my heart is the inability for Christ followers. I expect the world to do it, for Christ followers to stand in that gap, because right now there's some who are like, I knew Jeff was a right-wing radical, or I knew he was a left-wing liberal. And I'm like, I am telling you what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you how the person of Jesus reacts. And you are processing a spiritual truth in a political lens.
Mm-hmm.
So no, there is one. Jesus says, I am the way,
mm-hmm,
and the truth. So that means no other human being, including Jeff Bogue, is the way or the truth. We, yep, do not worship human beings.
No.
And we do not accept everything that they say or do or believe without the critique and the filter of Scripture itself, which means that the Bible is never going to fully agree with a human being, including you.
Yep, never.
And on the left side, the exact same thing is true, because I am not making a political statement. I am telling you what the Scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decided that there was a person who didn't deserve love, was unworthy of human dignity, and because of his politics, I'm like, brother, sister, your heart is hard. Your mind is far from God, and you are rejecting biblical truth. So it breaks my heart that we throw each other into those camps, because the camp we are in is more important than the kingdom we've been adopted into.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the kingdom truth cuts against all of us in all kinds of nuanced ways, and so that breaks my heart. It also breaks my heart that people are lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are people that are so lost in themselves and in so much pain and confusion in their life that they think if you put a bullet in somebody, you have solved your problems.
Yep.
And there are many, many people. Only one guy pulled that trigger, and he needs to be held responsible for it. But when we're celebrating or glad that that happened, I'm like, you have allowed your heart to go to a place that is ungodly. Now, the other side, if I'm grieving because I had put my hope in the political arguments of a person, mm-hmm. instead of the person and the truth of Jesus Christ, one of our pastors said something today that I thought was so awesome. He said, too many times I think we live in the internet, and how did he say that?
He said too many people are dwelling in the media instead of, and they're only dabbling in the scriptures.
Yeah. They're dwelling in the media and they're dabbling in the scripture. And I'm like, that breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you dwell in the scripture, or what Jesus says, when you abide in me or build your home in me, there is not a earthly system that will fit into that box.
Right.
And so when I hear one side or the other ascribing to an earthly system, it grieves me because I mean, you're not abiding in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You won't allow yourself to be disagreed with on either side. And then you will look and demand that, like, your church, for instance, agrees with you.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pastor you were telling me about earlier, and mm-hmm. he said, if you don't preach on Charlie Kirk and you don't do that, then you're a coward and you're not a person of God.
Yeah, it went as far as saying you should repent or resign.
Yeah, and I would look at my brother who said that in love, and I would say to him, a pulpit is to represent Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we want to talk about Charlie in a podcast. That's a completely different thing. But a pulpit is to take people to the heart and the mind of God, which is what I tried to do this weekend, and I'm sure I did it imperfectly. But I'm like, this gathering of the church is never about a human being.
Mm-hmm.
It is about the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords. And the events affect us. So let me show you about spiritual warfare, who the devil is. And then when you're grieving and hurting, let me show you the gift that the people of God are to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that grieves me.
Yeah.
That like a pastor would come to that conclusion. And then I heard another pastor on the internet, he preached a sermon against Charlie Kirk.
Wow.
In the name of Jesus. And what he said in his sermon was, how you died can never justify how you lived. And I'm like, that was your sermon.
Wow.
You were not bringing correction. You were joining a earthly momentum
mm-hmm.
on your side of how you view things. And you did not bring correction. You did not bring compassion. You did not bring love. You brought a justification for a bullet. And I'm like, that is not in the scripture.
No.
And I would look at my brother, and I would say, that is outrageous. Either one of those places, that is not, the church should not be mute. The church should not be irrelevant. But the lifting high of the name and the message of Jesus is where hope is found.
Yep, 100%.
It is where correction is found. So I understand emotions. I have them too. I yield those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So I get rid of all anger, bitterness, slandering, brawling, and malice. And instead, I'm compassionate, loving. This is Ephesians 5, mm-hmm. 4 and 5. And I'm like, no, I exchange those things. I take every thought captive that is mm-hmm. dishonoring to God, and I cause it to be defined and directed by God. And my job as a pastor is to teach you those things, not to join one of the teams. Because you can be pro what Charlie Kirk teaches and be godly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be anti what Charlie Kirk teaches and be godly. Or on either one of those sides, you can slip into things that very much dishonor the heart and the mind of God. So I get in trouble sometimes because I won't let the pulpit of Grace Church become the pundit desk right. of a talk show.
Yep.
And
to be honest, if you did, I'd leave.
Yeah, because it's not there's something greater. Mm-hmm. I've been a pastor long enough. And that I was saying to Pastor Bob, has been almost 60 years of pastoring. He's been through JFK, mm-hmm. RFK, Martin Luther King, Ronald Reagan was shot, John Lennon was shot. This is all public stuff.
Right.
I very clearly remember when the Challenger exploded.
Mm-hmm.
I was in high school. I remember Pastor Bob remembered like Malcolm X was shot.
Yep.
I remember the atrocities of apartheid. Mm-hmm. I remember 9/11. Mm-hmm. I remember et cetera. And I'm like, this is the human story.
Mm-hmm.
The human story, the spiritual battle of the evil one who's a liar, an oppressor, a murderer,
mm-hmm.
and seeks to kill and destroy. So when you see death, chaos, lies, division, and murder, you're seeing the tactics of the evil one played out on the spiritual ground of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see love and compassion and grace, forgiveness, grace, and truth, mm-hmm. you're seeing the tactics of Christ played out on the battleground of the planet. And the spiritual warfare is plays out in our lives, whether we see it or not, Paul says. And the planet is the battleground, and the prize is our souls.
Yep.
So what happens when you're an old guy, like Pastor Bob, or and starting to become like me? I've seen so much that I know that the only hope is Christ,
yeah.
And the only peace and the only order and the only justice comes when through Christ or when the principles of Christ are implemented
mm-hmm.
in a real way. And so it. You hate to say it's a cycle. I don't know if it's a cycle, but it's not an unfamiliar thing.
Well, we live in a world that is sinful and cursed and always reaping the consequences of that collective experience where every good and perfect thing we ever get to experience is a gift from God, whereas our default mindset often thinks we live in a good world where why do bad things happen? And so, yes, it's cyclical because that's the reality we actually live in.
If you go back in American history, which is just, you know, a couple hundred, 250 years
yeah.
old,
mm-hmm.
About every 20-ish years, give or take, there's a war.
Sure.
If you go back and I think it's 20% of all presidents that were assassinated or shot in office.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yeah, there hasn't been that many of them.
Yeah.
So you start clicking off, you know, Grover Cleveland, like Lincoln, mm-hmm. Garfield, JFK, da, da, da. And then Teddy Roosevelt was shot, Reagan was shot, Ford was shot at, Trump was a candidate. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Like these are shocking things, and it's indicative of brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
What's different today, for the good and the bad, is we actually see it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was reading an article one time about Vietnam, and they said one of the things that was unique about Vietnam is the death and destruction was in your living room.
Yeah.
First war ever. Because even World War II, you went to the movie theater to see those things.
Yep.
So it's the first war ever, and it changed. You're like, when I see that, I start asking, is the price tag of that? And it's, I'm not being political. I'm just saying the questions start to change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was 9/11. Like I vividly remember
mm-hmm.
watching the screens on 9/11. I remember watching people jump to their death. I remember, and then this is when the attempted assassination on President Trump. You're like you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Charlie Kirk and this young girl, this young Ukrainian girl down on the light rail,
mm-hmm.
you see them
yeah.
die, and it shakes you. And I would say it should.
It should, absolutely.
So them losing their life violently should shake us, who cares about their politics at that moment? Mm-hmm. The kid who was shot and the lady who was stabbed in Akron, I should have the same visceral reaction, and I do hate it, and I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. So it feels like a news report instead of something I experienced. So what I saw, that like this last weekend nationally, church attendance was huge. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of churches are right-wing. The experience I had here at Grace this last weekend was I had four conversations, three with young adults. One was a guy and two were women, young ladies, mm-hmm. who were just shaken. Mm-hmm. And one did not like his politics, but she loves Jesus. And she's like, but I saw something horrific.
Yeah.
What's happening to the world, Pastor Jeff? And we wound up talking about that and even how that shows up in personal life. Now, the other thing that we did this weekend in our church, because this is being recorded the Wednesday after the weekend that mm-hmm. we talked about all this, is we ended the service by having everybody ask what was the best thing that happened in your day, week, and what was the worst thing that happened in your week. I saw more talking, more laughing, more hugging, and more high-fiving than I probably have ever seen in our church in a weekend service. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there it is. The people of God are loving each other the way that Christ loved us. The people of God are not considering one another enemies. I said this weekend, I said, one of Satan's great tactics is to take a spiritual warfare and make it personal. Mm-hmm. And then if he can get the people of God who are supposed to love people to hate those people, he's won. Mm-hmm. And I saw the people of God loving support. I saw tears shed. I saw phone numbers exchange. I saw teasing about the Browns and, you know, who they were going to play in Michigan and Ohio State. And I'm like, that's what people were longing for. They weren't longing for what side does the church fall politically.
Right.
They were longing to experience on earth what is in heaven. And that brings about peace and comfort and truth and all those kind of things. And what happens if we go political, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, if you're a Christ follower, if you do that instead of Jesus, mm-hmm. you rob the world of the truth that they're actually looking for, and by the way, yourself, and it accomplishes nothing. And you know me, Joe, I am not I say we should engage the public square.
Sure.
I think we should vote. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a sin to be political. I think it's a sin to worship the political positions and politicians. Mm-hmm. But I think as a Christian, I should seek the heart of God and bring the heart of God into the public square because we have the privilege of doing that. I think that's what Charlie Kirk did. Mm-hmm. If your viewpoint on that is different, what does that have to do with me loving you?
Sure, right, absolutely.
And the big argument right now is, because I was reading about it all today, this morning, the big argument was like, but do you see how much they hate us? If you're on the right, do you see how much the left hates us? I'm like, yeah, Jesus said something about that.
He sure did.
He said, love your enemy, and he said, bless those who persecute you. Mm-hmm. And if you're on the left, if you're like, well, Charlie Kirk, I hated everything he said and everything he stood for, I'm like, and Jesus had something to say about that. Love your enemy, mm-hmm. and bless those who persecute you. The scripture is clear how that's all to be approached.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I can't thank you enough for being our pastor and not just being sucked into the opinion wars or whatever. So thank you for guiding us through this and helping us try to recenter all the mixed messages around us and dial back into the way, the truth, and the life of who Jesus is. And yeah. If you are our listener, like, I just want to encourage you to maybe listen, re-listen, go to the scriptures Jeff mentioned, and really dig into the heart of Jesus on what is it that he's calling us out of? How is he calling us to lead and reflect the kingdom of God? If you have questions that are like following up on these, you got something?
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing before you do the wrap up.
It's mixed messages with Jeff Bogue, so you say what you want, buddy.
This is what I want to say to you guys. Jesus tells us to pray for those who hate us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are deeply upset and angry about this assassination, pray for the people that you feel like are on the other side of it.
Yep.
And if you are almost joyful or glad that Charlie Kirk is the biggest jerk you ever knew and you're glad he was silenced, the scripture would say you need to pray for his supporters. And we pray for those who persecute us, and we love those who hate us. Now, I'll say this. No matter what, we have a wife and two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a little girl and a little boy that will never know their daddy. And somehow, if you have deep personal, because Charlie Kirk, you might even look and say, the movement will go on. And I'm like, yeah, but his son will never know his dad.
Yep.
So we have to get this down to a human being.
Yeah.
Was destroyed, and his family was destroyed. And it's, so Jesus tells us to pray, and to pray for those who persecute us. And we do not repay evil for evil. We repay evil with good.
Yeah.
And, When your mind is racing, first of all, get off your phone. When your mind is racing, go to prayer. And when you pray for people, it's really hard to hate somebody you're praying for.
Sure is.
So Jesus gives us a very practical outplay to this.
Well, I'll echo that thought, because that was a great pastoral way to think through and kind of close out this conversation. So, that's obviously, we have a heart for our listeners and want you to be able to find the way of Jesus in this, find the person of Jesus in this, even when it feels hard and feels unnatural. Jesus has something for us in his life. If you have questions that you want to specifically maybe follow up on this, or others, of course, but you can submit those. We'd love to keep the dialogue going and help people navigate through all of these things. You can go over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages, send them our way. We'll add them to the list, and we'll get to them as quickly as we can. And we'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you. And so, as Jeff mentioned, having these conversations in the lobby or getting the messages from time to time and say, this is how this is helping me in my real life, in my real engagement of God, in my real relationships, that kind of fuels the fire, not only for us, but then we can reflect that back to our other listeners as well. So if you do like what you're hearing, send this, share this. Let's be helpful to one another. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace on the weekend as we keep running after Jesus together. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.